It is 8:45. You are listening to Breakfast on 2SER 107.3. Just 15 minutes of breakfast left. But look, I want to talk quickly, because if you're a Sydney heritage buff, you're going to be well aware that there's an ongoing fight to save Sydney's iconic Sirius building. It's the 1970s brutalist social housing tower that you can see in the rocks. It's been slated for demolition by our state government. And of course, we're also thinking about public housing in a very different way at the moment as the full extent of London's Grenfell Tower tragedy unfolds. So on the phone, I've got Philippa Nicole Barr. She's a urban environmental academic talking about politics and the politics around maintaining social housing buildings. Philippa, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, look, for those who haven't been following the Sirius building story, maybe a quick rundown on what's been happening and where things stand at the moment.
Sure. Sirius is a building that was built sort of in the brutalist style in the 1970s. And over the last few years, residents have been successively relocated. I believe there are no more residents left, although a couple of months ago there were still one or two left. It's located in the Rocks, which is a really significant architectural heritage site in Sydney. And it was very symbolic, I think, for a lot of Sydneysiders to have also a public housing building in this location, and one which is also quite unique in terms of architectural style. So there has been a campaign launched around this issue by a lot of the people who were involved in the Save Millers Point campaign. So that was also related to preserving people who were public housing tenants. However, most of those tenants were living in terrace houses, which have also been mostly sold off. So this campaign was a spin-off of that, which is more related to fighting for heritage listing for Sirius itself. So fighting for heritage listing for the building, trying to get that building recognised as, you know, architecturally distinct and in need of preservation.
We've certainly seemed to have looped around on the brutalist architectural style in Sydney, and we seem to be regarding it a lot more highly than we did.
Yeah, I think because, I think there's a couple of reasons for that. And you can safely say that people don't build them like they used to. I mean, a lot of these buildings are in, you know, concrete. They're very sturdy. They've sort of aged kind of quite well, even though maybe in the beginning when they were first constructed, they might have looked a bit imposing and foreboding on the landscape. So over time, these buildings have become, you know, they've aged really well. A lot of them are really nicely landscaped, and they complement Australian plants and, you know, gum trees and other sort of Australian plants really well as well, because they're kind of darkish greys with the, you know, against which the green stands out really nicely. So they've, you know, over time kind of really blended into the landscape a little bit more than we probably expected. And then also because of the way that they were constructed, I have spoken to architects that don't think that you could build a building like Sirius today because, you know, the techniques and the methods aren't being used today. So, you know, they're kind of unique in that way, and that's what's kind of allowed them to age really well. And I think that's why people have started to appreciate them more and more. But there's another issue, and that is with the increase in rents across the city, you know, and the kind of increase in property prices across the city, buildings like that which contain, you know, low-income tenants, people who are still often participating in the economy but have lower incomes. They might be, you know, teachers or nurses, or they might be baristas, or they might whoever, you know. They might be parents. These are all, you know, occupations. It's rarer and rarer to kind of get pockets, like little communities of people who are lower income in some of these more expensive areas. So I think as everyone started to become affected by the increase in rents and property prices, we've become a bit more protective of some of those communities as well. And we don't want to completely abolish, you know, all diversity all over the city. So there's that as well.
Well, I'd hope not. Look, you know, in the wake of the Grenfell fire, I know the Mayor of London has said that apartment buildings from the 60s and 70s like Grenfell may have to be torn down. I mean, this is going to have a huge impact on a city's heritage like London and may have a flow-on effect for Sydney and Melbourne at the moment.
It's possible. I don't want to comment on whether Sirius or the Waterloo Towers, for example, or the towers that are in Melbourne, whether, you know, to what standard they have been built and maintained. I know that for a lot of the buildings in London and also here, maintenance has been a massive issue because a lot of these buildings haven't been maintained adequately. And often when governments budget for the construction of anything, they will only budget for construction and for the opening, and they won't think about how are we going to maintain it? Do we have enough money to maintain this 10, 20, 30 years into the future? And they won't budget for that necessarily. So budgets are then kind of, meted out by, you know, local councils sometimes, sometimes by state government, sometimes by their authorities. But there's often not really enough money to adequately look after buildings. And I think that's been an issue with a lot of public housing estates in Australia, and I would say possibly also in London, but not just public housing. It's also an issue with public swimming pools and all sorts of public works. They don't necessarily account for forecast maintenance, which is a massive problem. I don't know specifically whether these buildings in Sydney will need to be torn down. I hope not. But I would say, you know, in the interest of safety, you would have to, you know, make that call. If it was considered that some of these buildings were unsafe for fire reasons, it's possible that, you know, some of them may need to be demolished. But then obviously you have to make decisions about how that's managed. And at present, you know, for example, the building in Waterloo, there's two towers in Waterloo that are public housing. They're also in the Brutalist style. They're not as unique and architecturally valuable as Sirius. I will say, I will make the call that Sirius is a better building, but they have a really, really important community, a lot of elderly people. And, you know, you had people when this was first announced, people who were in their 70s and 80s receiving a letter that they would be relocated for 10 to 20 years and then they would be moved back into the area. You know, so obviously that is not what you want to hear when you're an elderly person.
Not at all.
You know, you might not have that many years left. So I think they've actually changed that approach now. And they're considering staging the redevelopment and relocation, doing it a bit slower, you know, moving people locally, or, you know, not moving the people that don't want to go, moving the people that want to go first, and, you know, doing everything in a much more staged and slower way. And I say, yes, I mean, you know, if you have to redevelop something for safety, go ahead and, you know, but manage people properly and value their communities and value their health as well. The other point on that is, what standards are these new buildings being built to? I mean, I think one of the reasons so many architects are passionate about Sirius is because they believe Sirius is built to a very high standard and is an excellent example of public housing, of concrete architecture built with concrete, of, you know, various things, a building in the Brutalist style. We have a lot of new developments at the moment that are not built to very high standards, that, you know, that are built with materials that are of dubious quality, that are possibly going to wear out very quickly, or, you know, have problems very quickly. To what standards are the new developments being built? And that is, I think, the question, the core question we really need to ask ourselves right now. Do we have aggressive enough standards in this country to preserve the health of not just public housing tenants, but anyone who's moving into one of these new developments? And then also, you know, how are we maintaining existing buildings, and how are we looking after the people living in them?